Well, you might not know it, but it's Ascension Thursday. The real date of the Feast of the Ascension was on Thursday, which was 40 days after Christ rose. And the Scripture says that after the end of those 40 days, He ascended into heaven. In this diocese, it was decided to move the observance of Ascension, which took place on Thursday, to Sunday. So I wish you a happy Ascension Thursday. And it's good to see so many of you here on a Thursday for Mass. Now, I want to talk to you about the Ascension, and at one level, it's already a glorious thing to think about in our imagination. And what I hope to do a little bit in this Mass today is fill in a few of the details for you, which might allow us to rejoice even more exceedingly over the fact that our Lord ascends into heaven for us today. The title of the message today is, Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. You see, there is something that I want you to notice about, first of all, about this ascension, and that is our fellowship. Our fellowship with the Lord as He ascends. We're not just commemorating a distant event from 2,000 years ago where our Lord's physical body was taken up into heaven by His own power. We are celebrating that, but we're celebrating much more than that. Because, church, last time I checked, and I did check this morning just to make sure it's still in the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now you... He's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about us now. Now you are members. You are the body of Christ, and you are individually members of it. So, we are members of the body of Christ. Now, here is where it gets good. You see, if I'm a member of the body of Christ, and Christ ascends into heaven, well, where do you and I go if we're members of the body? You see, my right hand is a member of my body. Now, if I were to get out of this pulpit and walk down that aisle and out the door, my right hand, which is a member of my body, goes with the body. Amen? Now, at least I hope so. You might say I'd be falling apart if it didn't go with it. So again, the vision here is that if I'm a member of the body of Christ, when He ascends, I ascend. Well, you say, how can this be? After all, I'm down here and He's up there. Well, I may have used this analogy before. I don't know, but let me use it again. If I get into an elevator and I punch the button for the 8th floor, don't you see that the top of my head gets to the 8th floor before the soles of my feet? All right, church. You see, Jesus said something very interesting to Mary Magdalene when she first beheld Him. He said, don't touch me just now, but go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I am ascending. And that is to say that the ascension, therefore, for Jesus, is not simply an event, but it's a process. And so I will simply say to you that it is all certain that you and I will one day be in heaven with the Lord, because we're ascending. That is to say, if we stay members of His body, where He goes, we will go. Amen? And He is already, the head of the body, Jesus, is already at the Father's right hand. You ought to say amen. And so all the members of His body share also in that great dignity of being at the right hand of the Father. Now, therefore, we have a fellowship today. with the Lord's ascension. We're not just observing a physical body going up to heaven 2,000 years ago, but we're part of this. So if someone says, "How are you doing?" just say, "I'm ascending." You see, because Jesus says, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father." So the next time someone says, "How are you?" or "What are you doing?" don't just say, "Well, not much." Say, "I'm ascending. Now, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Because you see, I'm ascending. A wonderful change has come over me. I'm ascending. I'm climbing Jacob's ladder." And you see, it's an unusual ladder. It's like a spiral staircase. And every round goes higher and higher. We may come around to the same place, but we're one level higher. If you're with Jesus, and you stay with Jesus, you're ascending. We have fellowship with the Lord today. Can someone testify that you're ascending? You may not be what you want to be, but you're not what you used to be. There are some sins that you used to commit, but you don't anymore. There are some attitudes that you used to have that you're being set free of. There's some hurts that you've let go of. There's some joy that you didn't used to have, but now you have. Some of you didn't used to get to God's house, but now you did get to God's house. Whatever it is, so just say, "I'm ascending. I'm ascending. I'm climbing Jacob's ladder." So, first of all, I just want you to note the fellowship that we have with Jesus as He ascends. Now, let's talk about not only the fellowship of the ascension, but some facts about the ascension. I want to try to fill in the details. It's kind of like when you were a kid, or I was a kid, we had a coloring book, and they handed us a box of crayons, and we colored it in. Amen? Well, what I want to try to do is get out the crayons and color in a few of the details. Now, first of all, we heard today the reality described, and it simply says that the apostles were with the Lord at the mountaintop there near Bethany, and it says as they were looking up, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight, and they looked intently into the sky as he was going up. You know, when you think about it, that's not bad, is it? That's a pretty good Hollywood scene. You know, just kind of stepping on a cloud and going up. Not bad, not bad. That's good, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus had told them that they would see this all the way back in the first chapter of John's Gospel. Nathanael was kind of impressed. Said, "Wow, you can read my mind. You must be the Son of God." He says, "You're impressed just because I told you what you did?" He said, "I want you to know something. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." But Jesus had told them that one day they would see Him taken up. One day they doubted. They doubted Jesus when He told them about the Eucharist. He said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they said, "This talk is hard to endure." And Jesus says, does this teaching trouble you? Well, what if you were to see me ascend to where I was before? You see, again, He promised them that they would see Him ascend to where He was before. So it is that Jesus is taken up. But I want to, again, add a few details from some other aspects of the Scripture. Because I don't want you to think that Jesus only ascended all by Himself. I want to try to point out to you that the Lord is taking us with Him, but also He went down into the place of the dead. He woke them up. And He took them. Let me explain to you how this happened. Jesus died on Good Friday, some 43 days ago. Remember, this is Thursday now, not Sunday. So 43 days ago, Jesus died on the cross. And He didn't just kind of go into a coma and wait for resurrection. The Bible says that Jesus was busy that Friday afternoon and into the evening and all day Saturday. Jesus was busy. What was He doing that Good Friday afternoon all the way through Saturday and unto Sunday morning. What was Jesus doing? Well, the Bible says in two places that Jesus went down among the dead and he woke them up. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that Jesus goes down among the dead. Awake, O sleeper! I said that a little loud just in case there's anyone in here. Awake, O sleeper, and Christ will give you light. And Adam and Eve stirred out of their sleep. Noah and Moses and Elijah and so many others woke up. And Jesus woke them from the dead. And the Bible says he preached a word to them. Let me read to you just so you see that I'm not making it up. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 6 says this. The gospel was preached even to the dead, so that though judged in the flesh like men, they might live in the spirit like God. And Ephesians chapter 4 adds this detail. When Jesus ascended on high, he led a host of captives. I'm going to get back to that. And he gave gifts to men. But in saying that the Lord ascended, what does this mean but first that he descended into the lower parts of the earth, down among the dead? He descended. And he is the one who has descended, is the one who has now ascended. Now, again, the scriptures teach us, therefore, that on Good Friday, Jesus went down among the dead. And I heard a good preacher I've heard before say that Jesus went down into the devil's trophy room and he turned it out. He woke him up and the devil was dancing a victory lap around the cross up here on the earth. But Jesus was already down in the devil's trophy room waking those dead up, those dead folks up. The devil thought he had them all to keep. But Jesus went down and he woke them up, and the scripture says he preached a word to them. And I have it on the best of authority that a good number of them accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then the Lord, it says here, goes down to rescue them. Now, what I'm about to say to you is a little bit of a preacher's creativity. This part is not in the Bible, but I have it on the best of authority that Jesus said to them, now, I got to go back up there and set some things straight up there. Those apostles, they're in trouble. They need some help. I got to spend 40 days with them. But wait for 40 days, and I'll be back. And then we're all going to glory. And I have it on the best of authority that Jesus gave them a gospel song to sing. He told them, I want you to start singing when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, and he comes back after 40 days. When we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We'll sing and we'll shout the victory. So they're down there singing the gospel song. And for 40 days, Jesus has been up here on this earth trying to get us lined up and figured out and straightened out, telling us what to do, preparing us for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And now, it's Ascension Thursday. I know it's Sunday, but today is Thursday, and the Lord is standing on a mountaintop. And church, the Bible says that when Jesus ascended on high, he led a host of captives with him and gave gifts to men and women. He gave gifts. Now, the word host in the Bible means an army. It means a large number. So church, it wasn't just Jesus going up into heaven on the day of the ascension. There was a whole glory train. Remember that old gospel song, I'm going to ride that glory train? The only way you'll ever get to heaven is to ride that glory train. And he was taking multitudes of the dead who had accepted him out of that place of captivity, that place of death called Sheol. He took them out and took them with him into heaven. And again, church, I have it on the best of authority that they were singing some gospel songs. They were singing, "There's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure of heart." Whoa, a little further back in the procession, they were singing, "I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me." And there was another group singing that old Motown song, "Your love, Lord, is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before." Oh, they're singing. And yet there was another group just singing the psalm that we had proclaimed today. It simply says here, "God mounts His throne to shouts." I said, shouts of joy. "A blare of trumpets for the Lord. Oh, you peoples, clap your hands," just like we did. "Shout to God with cries of gladness. For the Lord, the Most High, is the awesome God, the great King over all the earth. God reigns over the nations and sits now upon His holy throne." Oh, church, they were singing in that glory train. They were singing in that procession. You got your ticket for the glory train? Just make sure you do. Praise the Lord. So I want you to see the reality. I'm trying to just get the crayons out and color in some of the details here. But this isn't just Jesus all by Himself going up on a cloud. That's impressive enough. But church, I've already said, we're with Him. And so are all the dead who are resting in Sheol. Oh, think of that procession. I'm looking at that procession now, and I see Adam and Eve. Oh, they messed up. But Jesus cleaned up. As Adam and Eve in that procession, I see Noah, I see Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, I see Jacob and Rachel and Judith, I see Deborah, and I see David, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, yes, even John the Baptist. They're all in that procession, church. And men and women who we'll never know until we get there, but they're in that procession too. And somehow, you and I are also in that procession, because church, how you doing? Just say, "I'm ascending. I'm ascending." The final thing I want to cover with you today, in a rather quick way, but each of them would be their own sermon. You know I could do it, but I won't. But not only the fellowship of the ascension and some of the facts about the ascension to kind of bring out some of the details, but finally, the fruits of the ascension. Why did Jesus go up there? I mean, why didn't He just stay down here with us? I don't know about you, but I think things might have gone a little better if He had. But He didn't say that. He said, "No, it's just as well for you that I go." Now, let me explain to you, therefore, quickly, four fruits of the ascension. Now, the first fruit of the ascension is Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Jesus says, "It is this, I must tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you, the Holy Spirit. But if I go up, I'll send Him to you." Now, church, it's a mystery because we're so sensory. We think, if only I could just see Jesus, if He could be walking around and I could hear His voice. But Jesus says, it's actually to your advantage that I go up and send you the Holy Spirit. Just trust Him. And we're going to celebrate the coming of the Holy Ghost next Sunday. Make sure you're here and wear red. We're going to experience the tongues of fire. And we're going to turn up the air conditioning and really drive the wind through the church. The Lord is going to show up. The Holy Spirit. Now, but He goes up. And so the first reason that Jesus goes up is to send us the Holy Ghost. So the first fruit is Holy Ghost power. The second fruit is harvest. Jesus says in John 12 and verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." All men and women, I will draw to me if I be lifted up. For the Lord is there in heaven, directing the Great Commission. And church, we got to start really focusing on that. Starting next Sunday, we're going to begin to really switch our focus here in this parish intentionally to evangelization. Jesus gave an order, not a suggestion. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them and teach them everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you all days to the end of the earth. We got to work on that. But again, I want you to know something. Jesus is at the Father's right hand, and He's drawing men and women to Him from every nation, from every people, from every time. But church, He has no voice but yours right now. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. So we're part of this harvest. But that's the second fruit. The Lord promises a great harvest when He goes to heaven. So, the Holy Ghost power, the harvest, next comes help. How many of you need some help down here? I don't know about you, but I need some help. Help! It says here, Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. So whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, because I go to the Father. Jesus, because He's with the Father, has a special capacity to hear and answer our prayers. And so it is that even though He's taken up and we wish He would stay, nevertheless, He says, it's to your advantage. Because if I go, the Holy Ghost power. If I go, harvest. If I go, help for you. And then, finally, the fourth one, habitation. Now this is where it gets nice. It's all been nice, but it gets even nicer. Because the Lord says this in John 14. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would not have told you so. And now I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be. See, Jesus is up there and He's got out the plans, got on His construction hat, and He's saying, no, Charles needs a much bigger kitchen. I want the cabinets in gold, and I want the countertops in pearl. I want the knobs on the cabinets to be precious jewels. And so on. Well, that's what the Lord is doing right now. Praise the Lord. He's building your mansion. How many of you are glad He's up there doing that? Amen? Now, I say, be careful here, because the heart of heaven isn't the mansion. It's to be with God. Amen? The real mansion is in the very heart of God. But you see what I'm saying? The Lord has gone up. And we might say, well, why didn't He stay? All I can tell you, church, is Holy Ghost power, harvest, help, and habitation. I don't know about you, church, but I'm just thanking the Lord right now that His love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Because, church, I'm ascending. I'm getting closer and closer to God. I'm climbing Jacob's ladder, and every round is going higher and higher. Is there a witness in the house? And the Lord is giving me every blessing I need to grow in holiness. The Lord is giving me every grace necessary. In church, I'm ascending. I'm going up with the Lord. I'm going up yonder to be with my God. God is so good. Even when we wonder, why is He leaving us? Now He teaches. I'm going up so that you can go up with me. I'm going up to send you down some help so that you can come up with me. I'm ascending, you're ascending. I'm going up, and you're going up. Your love, Lord, is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Church, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Amen.